Monster Movie Media presents.
Welcome to Creepy Days, where we take a look back at some of the top Halloween events of 2016, including a look at the Halloween events at every Disney park in the world. Coming up in this episode, Grant and Brittany return to tell us more tales of their ultimate Disney Asian park honeymoon. They went to all three Asian parks in one trip. And you're in for a real treat for this episode, because we get to hear all about Hong Kong Disneyland at Halloween. But before we get into that, this is our last show of 2016, and coming very soon, we will be announcing the Creepy Kingdom films of 2016, as voted on by you. There is still time to vote. The link to vote will be in the show notes, and we've been posting it on our social media. So make sure your voice is heard so you can vote for your pick for the Creepy Kingdom Film of the Year. Also have an official announcement to make here about something else new that's coming to the Creepy Kingdom... Kingdom? I don't know. We are launching a brand new show on our YouTube channel called Creepy Quest. It's a show where I personally am going to go out into the real world and theme parks, which that's the real world, I don't know. It'll probably mostly be theme parks. Anyways, I'm going to search for all the creepiest cool stuff. It's kind of like a version of the podcast, except it's video and it's me right there. The first episode should be debuting very soon. So if you want to make sure you don't miss it, all you need to do is go to our YouTube channel. That's youtube.com/creepykingdom and subscribe so that as soon as it comes out there, it'll be right there waiting for you. Lastly, a few days ago, we lost a member of the Disney podcasting community. Alan from the Enchanted Tiki Talk podcast passed away a few nights ago. And even though I didn't know him personally, a lot of people I know and friends of mine did know him. And I want to send my condolences to his family and everyone that knew him and listened to his podcast. There currently is a GoFundMe campaign to raise money for his daughter's college fund, which in just 5 days has already raised almost $14,000, which is absolutely incredible. If you'd like to contribute, I'll put the link in the show notes. Alrighty, it's Halloween time at Hong Kong Disneyland time. All right, I'd like to welcome back to the show, Brittany and Grant. Hello.
Hey, James.
Hey. How you guys doing?
Lovely. Good. How are you?
Excellent. I'm so excited to continue this epic conversation about you guys' honeymoon to the Asian parks during Halloween time. And in case you have not heard that episode, if you're listening, we started off in Tokyo, and that was an epic conversation. I think we clocked in at 2 hours for that episode.
Yeah, we're gonna go at 3 hours for this one.
No.
I don't think so. But anyways, I knew this was gonna be a multi-part series because I knew there was so much to talk about. And what's funny is we talked about so much even with Tokyo, but I feel like there's still so much more to talk. I feel like we didn't really even scratch the surface of your trip.
No, and it's funny because we kept thinking about it later, going, wow, we didn't talk about that. And we didn't talk about, you know, just different aspects of the design of, like, DisneySea or the different aspects of Tokyo itself. But, I mean, it's the beauty in the eye of the beholder, I guess. It's for you to discover. You know, all I can do is kind of give you ideas as to how to get there and what you can expect there without trying to ruin too much.
Right, and most of us have no idea. Some of us may look at pictures and ride videos or whatever, but, you know, as Disney park fans, we're kind of inundated with images of our local park all the time, so we don't really see the other parks regularly, and we don't really know anyone that's been there for the most part. So.
Exactly. You know, it's crazy is that, you know, considering how huge the populations are out there, there really isn't as much information out on these parks simply because only so many people who speak English go there, and even a small handful of those people are going to put something on the internet about it. A lot of people are just going to go and say, hey, I went there, but they're not going to necessarily put anything online or build a website or anything like that.
Right, right. So I guess that's an American thing, I guess.
Yeah.
But we got some information right here from some English-speaking people. So you guys went to Hong Kong Disneyland after Tokyo. And this, I think, is probably the holy grail creepy Disney park. For all I know about it, for one, it's where Mystic Manor is, the newest Haunted Mansion-esque ride.
Absolutely.
And they celebrate Halloween in a very creepy way with having Disney-inspired haunts, which is a dream come true for someone like me and probably most listeners.
So. Yeah, exactly.
So that's all I know. So why don't you guys take us along the journey?
All right. I guess first thing I need to talk about, you know, we got on the flight from Tokyo to Hong Kong, and that itself is a smaller airplane in general. And it was a 5-hour flight, but I will say it was a much more intense flight, meaning very loud with everybody in there. No English activities to do, so I compare it almost to flying Southwest without any magazines. Another interesting thing is that they do not allow you to have your cell phone even on airplane mode.
Really?
Wow. So this was throughout China, and even on the return home, getting to Tokyo, we were allowed to, you know, because I had games on my phone and stuff. I figured, okay, I'm going to be entertained for a little while. You're basically just sitting there for 5 hours. So be prepared to bring a book if you do something similar, because they check and see if your phone is on airplane mode. They're going to make you turn it off, and they will not take off until your phone is off.
Oh, wow. So,
bring a book, bring a Game Boy, something. He was really disappointed. He's like, but I have all this stuff I want to listen to on my phone.
Oh.
I was actually going to listen to your podcast, but it was on my list.
Well, you know, I'm sure, I don't know if it's 5 hours, but the last one would have been 2 hours, but you were on it, so it didn't work. But,
that would have been some weird time-space continuum. Yeah. It would have been really odd. But anyway, so, you know, I'll say that the airport itself was relatively easy to get out of. Mm-hmm. You do have to go through customs. And I will state that Hong Kong is part of China where you do not need a visa to get into.
Okay.
Any other part of China, you need to get yourself a visa, and that itself is kind of expensive, and it's a process, but we'll talk about that when it's time for Shanghai. But, you know, when you go to Tokyo and Hong Kong, those are considered separate entities, and you don't need a visa. The other thing is if you are going to do a similar park trip as we did through Asia, Hong Kong is actually on their own monetary system separate from China. Yeah. So we actually had three different types of currency on us. Hong Kong's on the Hong Kong dollar. They still haven't fully integrated. So
weird.
Something to take note of if you're going to be going. Don't just think, oh, I just need to get a bunch of Chinese money and a bunch of Japanese money. No, you need to get three different types of cash.
And if you're a really brave soul or a complete lunatic, they drive British style on the left side of the road. So, good luck.
Yeah. God. Yeah, it was crazy. Now, I will say that when you get out, taxis are wonderful there. Yeah. They're very affordable and they're all regulated by the city. So for us to get to our hotel room, it was about $20 in U.S. money. And I consider that worth it when you have, you know, four suitcases and two carry-ons. Oh, yeah. You don't want to necessarily try to figure out how do I take the subway or the bus system with all this. Another thing that we did that I am really proud that my mom suggested this idea was when we printed out our itinerary, we actually printed out pictures of where we wanted to go. Hmm. That way we can, you know, point at the address or point at the location, and odds are the taxi driver, or if we were on the street, somebody would be able to at least direct us to where we were going. Because not everybody speaks English in Hong Kong, a lot less people than we were actually expecting, considering it was under British rule.
Right.
And the other aspect of that was I thought the addresses would be fine, but addresses when they print out through like Google Maps are totally different. Like the language and the names of them are different than the way they pronounce it. So the way it tells you on like if you're doing a street by street directions on Google Maps, it's going to say turn right on this street, and it turns out that that street has a slightly different name. But you show that to a local, and they're going to get very confused. So
I'm confused just listening to this.
Yeah. So don't rely on that. But anyway, we got our hotel room, which shocker was actually smaller than the one that we had in Tokyo.
Wow, you said that one was a closet. So this was like a drawer.
Yeah. is when the guy who checks you in downstairs offers to keep your luggage in the lobby. And you look, and there's a corner of the lobby filled with suitcases. Wow. And we thought that was really weird. And we go up to the room, and as Grant is opening the door, his famous last words were, "This can't be any worse than Tokyo." And he opens the door, and I just hear, well, I was wrong. We barely fit in the room. The door didn't open all the way because I piled all the suitcases up in the doorway. There was no other hope for fitting things in the room.
I will state for all you lovebirds listening out there that if you are the type of young romantic couple that is waiting forever to live with each other and you're waiting before you go beyond kissing, do not do Asia as a honeymoon spot, because you're going to be sorely disappointed.
However, if you want to experience what it's like to live in a tiny house, go to Hong Kong.
Yeah, there you go.
What could you compare the size of your hotel room? Like,
let me see. I would say
some walk-in closets are probably larger.
I would say picture a standard kitchen.
Okay.
And include the bathroom with that kitchen. It's really small. You know, there's no bathtub. It's just a shower, right. You know, and that's pretty much there's nothing there. Bare bones. And, you know, I was basically standing in the bathroom while she was maneuvering the bags, and we were having to pass things onto the bed to maneuver, like, and to maneuver clothes out. And of course, the one thing that she'd want to wear, she'd be like, "Oh crap, I think it's in this bag that you've already locked up." So, you know, you're going to spend a lot of time figuring that out.
The room held a full size bed. There was like a desk along the wall and not a foot of space between the bed and the desk. And then there was a bathroom and there was a couple shelves by the door. And that was the room.
I will say, though, that the room itself is, I think, $38 a night. So if you look at it from a traveling to do things other than be in a hotel room point of view.
Right.
Place you know, crash. Like picture yeah. when you go to Orlando or like when we go to like Anaheim, we're looking for a place to basically sleep, shower, and take off. We're not looking for more magic or anything like that. You know, it's a place to, you know, basically reset yourself so you can hit it hard again the next day.
Right. Yep.
You know, because I know that you're a big fan of doing the 8 a.m. till midnight days at Disney World.
Yep.
And then doing it the next day. And, you know, we're kind of on the same level. You know, we're warriors, and that's why we're here. So, anyway, what I will say is one aspect that we didn't really encounter at all in Japan is China in general is extremely dirty. There is litter everywhere. You will see just trash along your feet.
This is the streets, not the parks.
The streets, not the parks, yeah. But, like, just walking around, you're going to be like, this is a very, very, very different mentality. And the other noise that you're going to get really used to is
spitting.
People yeah. hawk loogies left and right like it's going out of style. And I think the reason is it's a very polluted area. I also read that it has to do with an old Chinese tradition for luck. And also everybody, a good portion of the population smokes cigarettes. So I think that all those things combined make that happen. But, you know, if you're looking down on the sidewalk as you're walking, you are going to see, well, there's a fresh one, there's a fresh one, there's a fresh one. And this
I wasn't looking because I would have
But this isn't to dissuade you from going there. It's just, it's a culture shock because we came from Japan, which was so much cleaner and so much more polite, to this is much dirtier than I've ever experienced. And this was nice compared to Shanghai, but we'll get to that later. There's a teaser for that stuff. you know, and then you're walking down the street, and you're seeing all sorts of bizarre food just kind of like on a stick, on the grill, you know, waiting for you to buy it. And it's not covered, and there's flies on top of it, and people are happily eating it. So I'd like to let all the listeners know that if you donate $5,000 to James's Patreon, he will do this trip, and he will happily eat one of these items of his choice. And for $10,000, I'll go and I'll witness him eating this food and eat his favorite food in front of him as he's enduring this.
My favorite food. I don't think I would never eat anything that you just said. I mean,
I did try a couple little things and they weren't bad. I'm still alive, I think. But, you know, it is the ones that looked safer. But, yeah, they do have really unusual things. And if you're somebody who doesn't enjoy seeing ducks hanging in the windows and stuff like that, you're going to be out of luck with that because it's all over the place. You can't really avoid it.
I did a really good job of averting my eyes from a lot of that. None of that is near Disney, so it's going to be traumatizing to you, there's your answer.
But once again, staying at a Disney hotel, I think it was like $350 a night. So it's kind of a
much of a markup. Wow.
Tokyo is $500 and that's $350. But I'm guessing with the Disney hotel, you're probably getting a more substantial sized room. So it's more of a matter of, do you want to spend your plane flight to go to stay in a hotel for a night or two, or do you want to use that money on something else? Or if you don't have the money and you just want to go, you know, you're just going to have to grin and bear it. And I'd say, you know, the trade-off is ultimately worth it, but it is going to be a little bit of culture shock. And you're going to find that maybe people aren't necessarily as helpful as they were in Tokyo.
Okay. Yeah.
The most interesting culture shock, I think, for us in downtown Hong Kong, we accidentally wound up in a pop-up black market area where every night these camping tents would appear and gazebos would pop up.
Okay.
And you were in the black market on the middle of the street.
Oh, yeah, and our hotel room was right at the entrance to the black market. So we had to walk through the black market in order to go in there. So that's kind of a...
It was the road between the train station and our hotel, which wasn't more than a 3 or 4 minute walk. But that whole road, I would say, by about 8 o'clock at night, turned into the black market and stayed that way till probably 1 or 2 in the morning.
Wow. Yeah, one hand was firmly on Brittany and one hand was firmly on my wallet. You know, basically, you know, it is what it is. And, you know, we discovered this because we came, you know, because when we landed, it was the afternoon. So we were like, okay, well, let's go and check out Snoopy's World, which is in a mall. And it's like a little indoor amusement park thing with a boat ride. And, of course, the boat ride was closed to refurbishment for another month. You know, not really creepy. But, and then, you know, Hong Kong does a laser light show every night where all the city turns all the skyscrapers light up in different ways to music. So that was kind of cool to watch. And they do that nightly. So, you know, when you imagine coming back and then all of a sudden – you know, here's the black market. You're like, okay, I guess this is reality right now. And, you know, there was definitely rip-off Disney stuff, which, you know, I definitely did not buy any of that because I was kind of scared of what would happen if I took my wallet out for any of this stuff.
Oh, wow. Is that sketchy? Well,
and then, you know, there was Legan sets, which were like Lego sets for kids. Legans. And it looked like Star Wars. Legan. L-E-G-G-I-N. And their big space set was Star WNRS. So it was like trying to make it look like Star Wars, but without actually saying that so they couldn't get sued.
Wow.
So anyway, I guess we'll get on.
Yeah, let's go to the parks. We went through the black market and hell back.
That's actually a little more, let's talk about something a little more happy than that. But okay, so to get to Disney, you basically just take the subway, and we were going to take a cab there initially, and we saw that was about $25 each way, which isn't bad because it was 45 minutes away. But then we saw that we can do the subway for about $1.25 each round trip.
Hmm.
So for $2.50, we're like, you know what? Let's save that money because we're going to do this for 2 days.
I will say, if you're traveling, how you get your subway ticket in Hong Kong, you go up to the giant map, which is in English, and push which station you want to go to. It's a touch screen, and it tells you how to get there, and it prints out your ticket, and you're ready to go.
It tells you the route. Yeah.
Yeah, no thought process. Tokyo's was confusing to us. It took us the whole trip to understand it. Hong Kong took 30 seconds, and I had the whole thing figured out. Hong Kong Disney has its own train line. You take the train to a certain station, and then you get on the pink line, which goes to Hong Kong Disney and from Hong Kong Disney. They built their own train line, and they have their own special Disneyed subway car that goes on it. Oh, and nice. It has little Disney statues inside, and it's all Disney themed.
Oh,
so that's something Disney had to put the money down for to get their train station, but it makes the trip that much more easy and convenient.
It also kind of gets you in the mood.
Yeah, it sounds like it. Yeah, after going through the black market. I mean, I know it's the end of the night. But
here's the thing: the black market. When we're heading to Disney in the morning, we have a nice clean, well, not clean, but nice empty street. Nothing on it. You come home and you're in the black market. Makes you wonder if you're on the right block.
I kind of put that train similar to, like, if you're going to Magic Kingdom and you have to get on the boat to get there. It's kind of building up the anticipation of going there. You know, so, you know, we got there, and Hong Kong Disney has really weird hours. They are only open from 10:30 at night, or 10:30 in the morning until 8 o'clock at night. So they, you know, it's kind of a weird one, but it's also the smallest Disney park out there, at least as far as the Disneylands go. I think Disney Paris's Hollywood Studios may be a little bit smaller. So we actually had already set up some dining reservations, which you actually have to call Hong Kong if you want to do dining reservations at the hotel, so you can do like character dining and stuff like that. And they did have, at one of them, they did have a villain's breakfast buffet, ooh, which was basically regular Chinese food, but it would say like Ursula's Undersea Delights and Hades fire grilled items and things like that, you know. Basically the regular food, but with a fun name on top of it.
It's really nothing special.
But it was, you know what? It was a good way to kind of get the way the day started. Mm-hmm. So anyway, you go into Hong Kong Disney, and the first thing you notice is that the castle is the same castle as Disneyland's.
Okay. Sleeping Beauty.
It's Sleeping Beauty Castle, and I think it's even a little smaller.
It appeared smaller to me. However, unlike all the other parks, Hong Kong Disneyland is in the mountains.
Yeah, I've seen pictures of a big mountain behind the castle.
Yeah.
Cool.
So
yeah.
It looks really pretty. However, the castle appears probably smaller than it is because there's a mountain behind it.
Yeah.
So it's nestled in the mountains. It looks pretty, but it looks tiny. There's nothing when you walk through it. There's obviously no restaurant, no stores, nothing inside of it. You just walk through it.
Looks like there's no hub in front of it either.
Not really. No, there's like a little hub, but nothing major. And, you know, then one thing that's kind of cool, but it was kind of painful at the same time, was the first thing we did when we walked in there on the first day was we saw that they had Mickey and Minnie in their Halloween attire. And you can meet them together, and they're dressed like pumpkins. And this year, everybody was dressed like a pumpkin. Yeah, so it was kind of the orange and green palette. And what's cool is that where Mickey and Minnie meet, you get a good photo, and the castle is right behind it. So you get, like, a nice, unobstructed view. However, you know, the line didn't look very long, but people take about 25 photos. So we had already waited, like, an hour and 15 minutes. Hour and 45 minutes, I think.
It was an hour and a half.
Okay, somewhere in there.
Wow.
Just to meet Mickey and Minnie. So I was already kind of in a bad mood at this point because it's now 11:45. I'm like, we really just waited this whole time to do it. But it's like once you're in that line, you're not going to leave, you know. Whereas Disney World, you know, you've done characters before. You know how quickly the lines tend to move. And with this one, it's like, do we really want to do this tomorrow? So we figured we're going to spend the first few hours of this day at this point. We're going to just resign ourselves to meeting characters, because we character hunt.
Right. I guess that's important to point out, because I wouldn't wait an hour and a half to do that. I'd be, like, so antsy, you know.
Yeah, and that's how I was actually getting. I was going, okay, they have Grizzly Gulch here, and they have Mystic Manor, and here we are.
He was worse than the five-year-olds in line.
We're really doing this right now.
But the thing I noticed, because the line wasn't long, and in my head I kind of calculated out if we were at Disney World, how long this line would be. And we waited in some long lines in Tokyo for characters. Stitch and Angel was a 45-minute wait, but when are you ever going to see Stitch and Angel in Halloween costumes together? We were doing it. I figured this line was shorter than the Stitch and Angel line. So I'm like, oh, this is going to be a half hour. This is going to be okay. What we didn't realize is you take a photo of Mickey and Minnie. They pose for you first. Then you do your group photo. Then everyone gets an individual photo.
Sounds like a wedding.
Yes, exactly.
And here's the thing. There's two of us. That's not that long. But if you have four children, oh, now the girls are taking a photo with Minnie together and the boys with Mickey. And every kid gets their individual photo. Then mom. Then dad. You see how this goes.
Wow.
For a long time. So the line was misleading. We did figure out that they open the main street a half hour before the park, which gives you access to the characters that are out and they're equivalent to the Emporium for a half hour before the rest of the park. So day two, you can bet we were right up at the turnstile at 10 o'clock and in 10 minutes had finished meeting all the characters that took us 2 hours to do half of the day before.
Yeah, I basically had to barter with her and say, okay, we'll meet these three right now and then we'll meet the other three tomorrow, but there's no way I'm doing this any longer.
Which, I mean, it worked out. We didn't miss anything in Hong Kong Disney, even waiting in line for the characters. And it is, when you think about it, at Disney World, if you want to meet them in their Halloween attire, you have to buy the hard ticket to Not So Scary. Mm-hmm. Disneyland, I believe, is the same way. Unless you can get into Toontown for, like, the last hour the park is open. Sometimes you get Mickey and Minnie. So this was like the Halloween attire. This is the one shot we were going to have to get them in Halloween attire this year. We missed, I like Hollywood and Vine in Florida does a character dining for every season with the characters dressed up, and we couldn't do it this year because we were in Asia for the month. So this was my Halloween characters, and we bit the bullet and we got them all, and I don't feel it interfered too much in seeing the rest of the park.
Yeah, so yeah, getting to that, the first thing you're going to notice when you get into this park is how small this park actually is. Like, you really, once you kind of like, if you walk through the castle and you see the back of the park, you're like, oh, wow, okay, here it is. So, you know, the main street itself is really small. So
yeah, it looks like it from the pictures, yeah.
Oh, okay, so you're, if you look at a picture and you look at what this park looks like, it's tiny. So I guess I'm just going to kind of go through, and if you head west through the main area by the castle, you get to Adventureland. And that's where they have, like, Tarzan's Treehouse, where you actually have to take a raft, like Swiss Family Robinson, or sorry, Tom Sawyer's Island style, to get to the treehouse. Now, We didn't do that because we kind of felt like that just wasn't important for us.
Yeah, it sounds like a waste of time. I mean, you got the Tarzan's Treehouse. I think I've gone through it once at Disneyland.
Yeah.
And then to take a raft, you know, one thing, you didn't have to do the ordeal of the raft if you just got to walk over to the, I totally would have run up it for 5 minutes just to see it, but.
Yeah, it kind of combined. They don't have a Tom Sawyer's Island, so they put the rafts attached to their Tarzan's Treehouse. So it kind of got the best of both put together.
Right.
The other thing they have in there is Jungle Cruise, which is their Jungle River Cruise, which goes around Tarzan's Treehouse, because Tarzan's Treehouse is an island. The neat thing with the Jungle Cruise, there's three lines, Mandarin, Cantonese, or English. So the first day, we're like, well, let's go through in English so we have an idea of what they're saying. So we go through in English, and you clearly have a tour guide who read the script and sounded it out in English and memorized it.
And have no idea what they're saying.
Exactly. They memorized the book. And, I mean, she did a good job. You could understand her, but you knew she didn't have necessarily the meaning behind everything. I'm sure from how I kind of watched the boats come in, my guess is to be a Jungle Cruise operator there, you're at least doing two of the three languages, and they send the boats out based on the lines. If one line is longer than the other, you're going to watch Mandarin go out twice in a row to kill the line off.
Okay.
So the first day we did it in English. The second day we went and did it in Cantonese and got stopped by three cast members. Here, let me help you to the English line. And I'm like, I'm in China. I'm riding the Jungle Cruise in Chinese. I'm like, I don't need to do it in both both Chinese languages, but I'm going through once in Chinese. Much more animated in Chinese because obviously that's the language they understand it in.
Right. They probably have better timing, more chops, I guess.
Yeah.
Not that we understood. They could have been telling jokes about us the whole time and we would have been oblivious. They have, which makes this one really unique, they have fire stunts in their Jungle Cruise ride that go off.
Oh, and there's a warning that you may get wet on this Jungle Cruise.
Yeah.
Did you get wet?
The second time, barely. It's basically, They have, like, monkeys shoot it, like, kind of like in Tokyo where they're shooting things into the water, like they're shooting the guns into the water, but it's much more powerful. And then the grand finale of this one is a giant rock formation where there's a giant blast of water that makes you detour into this erupting volcano type area. And there's fire on the water and flash flood, stuff like that. So it's a giant water and fire effect, which is really neat. And we got some neat photos of that.
I think, though, timing is everything on that. You could probably ride it 10 times and never get wet, or go through once and the wind hits it right way and the big wave gets you, or the geyser hits you the right way. So I really see where you could get wet on that Jungle Cruise on, like, hours. But like I said, it's probably chance and timing, okay, whether or not it happens to you.
Now, next to the Jungle Cruise is something that you're really going to love, which is the Nightmare Experiment, which was their haunted house that they actually did. They do a full-on walk-through Halloween Horror Night-style haunted house during Halloween.
Wow. So are these open, like, all day?
Yeah, this is open all... I think it opened up at noon. Oh, and wow. Keep in mind, because Hong Kong Disney, they close at 8. It may have even been 7.
No, it was 8.
It was 8.
But several lands in the park close at 7. Several rides around the park cut their lines at 7:30. So the park is open until 8, but if you can't bet on, I'm going to get in line for this ride at 10 to 8 and right, still be able to ride it. Mm-hmm. You're going to be sorely disappointed if you try to do that. Whole sections of the park are closed. Wow. Likewise, whole sections of the park don't open until 11:30. Toy Story Land. We were going to go into Toy Story Land the second day, and they had a bunch of cast members standing there saying it wasn't open until 11:30. So you kind of have to watch your timing. So the Nightmare Experiment's open. I want to say it was noon to park closing. It's one of the few rides or attractions, rather, that have a wait. So we went on it earlier during the day because as nighttime comes in, that one builds up a bigger line.
Right, because they bring out the mist and the smoke and stuff, so it kind of gets you in the mood for doing a haunt type thing.
Right.
I will say, apparently last year they did haunt out the Jungle Cruise, but they didn't do it this year, which was kind of a shame. Now, as far as the Nightmare Experiment goes, this is going to be major spoiler heavy if you're planning on traveling back in time and going into Hong Kong. Yeah.
Back in time. Well, I mean, do they do new things each year or what?
It's not the same. I'm going to guess that elements might overlap, but no, it is not the same haunted house every year.
Let's spoiler it up then.
I actually read that this was the first year that they used Disney characters in a haunt. Hmm. Normally they would do things like they would have stuff inspired by Disney rides. Like, I guess there was one that was themed to Haunted Mansion last year where they had like Madame Leota's head like broken out of her ball. Ooh. Like as a prop somewhere, but this time they wound up using the actual characters in films. So anyway, this was kind of a harder thing to understand because it was entirely in Chinese. You walk into this room and there's this character, and he was like this like a steampunk inventor type character. I'm trying to think of what his name was. It was his whole point was he was trying to bring your nightmares to life from what we could figure out. So you watch this scene and it was basically you go from room to room, and in each room you stop. So it wasn't like a free-flowing haunted house.
Oh, okay.
It was, you go and they move everybody into a separate room, and something happens, and then they move everybody into a separate room. Think, I don't know if you've ever been to Islands of Adventure, but like Poseidon's Fury,
yeah,
where
that's
they move
like. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's
yeah.
Exactly where it's like we're going to make sure everybody's in this room, and then whatever's going to happen in this room is going to happen. So, you know, the door opens up, and the first thing you see is you're walking through a swamp, and you're going into a shack, and you are in Dr. Facilier's voodoo shack.
Ooh.
And a very Asian Dr. Facilier comes out. He is definitely portrayed by a man from Hong Kong, for sure. comes out, and he does some little routine, and people were screaming, but we didn't know why they were screaming. And this is something where I will say that the language barrier probably would have helped. But he kind of did a little thing, and it was a neatly themed room. And there were some random, like, costumed actors that kind of came by that were, like, the spirits from the other side.
Oh, wow.
Doing stuff. And that was kind of neat. And then they took us out of there. And they took us and they put us in jail. And it was the Pirates of the Caribbean jail that you see everybody in at the end of Pirates of the Caribbean where the dog is holding the key.
Yeah.
And there's undead pirates basically tormenting you while you're locked in the cell for a little while. And they eventually let you out. And, you know, this was something that we really didn't know what was going on.
Yeah.
You know, we didn't feel any danger because we were in Disney.
It was like the back of the cell. There was a door in the back of the cell that opened and you went into the next area. Everyone around us seemed genuinely scared, so they were doing a good job.
This is one of the few times that we actually felt like the barrier of language.
Yeah.
Right.
Maybe kind of hurt us in that regard. And so the next area that they took us into was Sid from Toy Story's room. And the giant spider baby, you know, with the doll head?
Yeah.
That was a fully articulated animatronic.
Wow.
And it shone lights, and there were, like, deformed toys chasing us in there. And, you know, by chasing it, I use that loosely because we're all in one room. So it's more like they're walking around trying to make you feel uncomfortable.
Okay.
Hiding in the shadow and popping out, but, you know, things like that.
You know, in each of these rooms, there is a spiel that's done and something in the room comes to life. And then that lets you into the next room. So it's like we were able to kind of figure out a little bit, but it was hard to kind of fully grasp. So eventually I remember that the spider baby thing's eye lit up and it shined a light on the wall, and then this door opened up and that took us into an area where all of a sudden we were walking on grass.
Okay. So you're outside? Was it?
We're walking on grass. No, we're inside. We're inside, but we're walking on grass and the Mad Hatter is there having a tea party. And wow. It's the Johnny Depp Mad Hatter. It's not, it's not the old 1950s one. And he randomly grabbed somebody and took him into this room where he's having his unbirthday party and grabs scissors and puts them around the other person's neck. And then all of a sudden the lights turn red and you can't see what happened. So it was kind of interesting because we got to see the Mad Hatter decapitate a guest.
And we're not 100% sure. You know, first we wondered guest or
plant
actor, plant basically. They didn't allow photos or video. A video is on YouTube. And Grant did watch it to see if it was, like, maybe the same guy or, like, there's a cue. Like, the guy in our scene, the one he picked happened to be wearing a hat. Was it maybe he goes for that hat every time? It's going to be a different person. But the one in the video we saw was totally different. So either he knows who the plant is or he is just randomly grabbing someone. The only thing I can say... similar between ours and the video you saw, he took the person from the same spot.
Yeah, maybe so he can kind of get him into his room a little bit sooner. Okay. But you watch that, and then you get to go into the next area, and that's you're now standing in, like, on giant film reels, and there's a projector, and you see the guy who's leading this experiment going insane, and they're showing scenes of all the Disney villains from, like, Ursula and Gaston and, you know, just the poacher from The Rescuers Down Under and Cruella de Vil. Oh, wow. You know, basically all going insane as they hurry you out. So that's how that thing ended. It was kind of a neat experience. It was very, very unique. I do think that the language barrier definitely did hurt us a little bit, but it was still a lot of fun.
Yeah, you still can appreciate it. I mean, you can follow along to an extent. As long you don't need to know the language, as long as you've seen the movies they're right. referencing, get it.
Yeah, I mean, I would say, especially for you, James, that you should definitely, if you're able to go there on Halloween, you would still definitely have a blast with it. You just mm-hmm. would be kind of lost as to maybe what exactly they were saying.
Yeah, but yeah, I mean, we're all familiar with the subject.
Yeah,
material.
Exactly.
You know, as long as you know the character and kind of the character's
personality and
motivation, you would follow along. You just wouldn't get the jokes. You wouldn't get whatever they said that made people scream. I did notice over there, they seem to get scared a lot more easily than we would. Or they just really like to play along. I'm not sure.
Yeah, they were getting scared of, like, really, really dumb stuff, you know, that, you know, you'd be like, oh, this is funny. And they were actually getting genuinely scared of.
One thing I noticed, you know, this is Disney. They had charactered cast members in the haunt to make sure in dark areas you didn't fall, you didn't, you know, run into things, which is something I wish the haunt we went in Halloween Horror Nights would have had, because I was falling all over everything.
Oh, yeah, and we had to watch somebody who brought their camera out in the middle of this thing, and a cast member ran up to them and made them delete it from their phone and, like, watched them delete the photo.
Wow.
So they were very strict about that. So that's kind of neat. So that's kind of that. So if you're continuing, you know, if you're moving clockwise around.
One thing I do want to bring up in that area. I don't know if anyone's ever seen an Animal Kingdom Divine.
Oh, the plant lady. She looks like.
Yes.
She's on stilts too or something.
Yes. She has a Chinese cousin outside of this attraction who we saw come out at night. Taller. A little more creepy-looking vined stilt walker walking around. And not necessarily, like, Divine will sometimes camouflage. This one had a crowd around it, so I think the camouflage gig was up. But I did notice that was there, and that's something I thought was really cool for us because we see Divine out. Not that I know what this character's name was or anything, but Divine has a Chinese cousin who comes out at night around the haunt.
What time does it get dark?
I would say about 5.
Okay, so you had a few hours of darkness then.
Yeah.
You get like 2 to 3 hours. You know, it's like, once again, going back to what Brittany said, when they say they close at 8, it's like you basically have to plan for they close at 7 and you're going to get a little fireworks show at 8.
Oh, okay.
You know, it's basically they're, you know, milling you out of there. I think a lot of that has to do with their train stops running at a certain point.
And not only do they have to get all the guests out, you have to get all the cast members who rely on public transportation, which is the bulk of people in Tokyo, Hong Kong, and Shanghai. The cast members got to go home on those same trains. You've got to get them out, too.
So you have to close significantly earlier so they can get out.
Wow.
So anyway, if you're moving clockwise through this and you pass that, you see Grizzly Gulch, Big Grizzly Mountain Runaway Mine Train, which is the next-gen version of Big Thunder Mountain.
So Grizzly Gulch is kind of like Frontierland?
Yeah, it's their version of Frontierland.
It basically has one ride. Grizzly Gulch, like he said, it's the next-generation Big Thunder Mountain with a lot of elements of Expedition Everest mixed in. So,
backwards,
yeah.
There's actually a launch in there at some point, and animatronic bears throughout the whole thing. And
they work, unlike the Yeti.
Oh my god.
I was so happy to see these bears moving because I'm used to the Yeti that is stuck.
And, you know, the neat thing, the weird thing with this, there was no line for this ride. I took photos of it, and it's like, here's one of their top attractions of the park, and there's two people in line, and those two people are me and her. And Whoa. It was like, okay, well, the front car, I guess you can have it. And it's a shame because this ride was so well done, and it was quick. There weren't really any big drops. It's shorter in height than Big Thunder Mountain Railroad, but it's a longer ride than Thunder Mountain. It's a better thrill ride overall because it's more like twisty, turny, and forwards, backwards.
Okay.
Yeah, the backward portion, you can tell this came after Everest. Because the backwards portion is significantly longer and it's done differently. I think you're probably going backward at least a minute.
Oh, wow.
I'd say,
if not a minute and a half.
Yeah. I'd say maybe 45 seconds.
I mean, Everest is like 10 seconds, right?
Everest is about 20.
Yeah, no, this is a lot longer than Everest. Because when we were... you don't realize how long the ride is when you look at it from the outside. But what I realized when we were leaving it... The track goes at one point in three different rows, where you go forward, where you go backward, and then where you go forward again are three different tracks, but they are all next to each other. So the ride is in a condensed spot, but it's still long. So it actually works out really nicely in a small area.
It's extremely, extremely well themed. It actually had me yelling as you... Why aren't more people at this park experiencing this? You know, we haven't gotten anything awesome in a long time. And you guys get this, and how come nobody is here?
To put in perspective, the wait time for this ride said 5 minutes. It took us 5 minutes to walk from the sign to the front of the line.
Oh, wow. So it's got a long queue, but nobody's
in it. It had a long queue. Your wait time for most rides, with the exception of the Haunt, which I think we waited 15, 20 minutes, Dumbo had like a 40-minute wait. Hmm. Winnie the Pooh was about a half hour. Every other ride in that park was a walk-on. I think Space Mountain might have been a 10-minute wait.
Basically, if you can take a little kid on it, it's going to have a longer line. Everything else was walk-on. So,
they don't like coasters in Hong Kong? Is that what it is?
No, the people who were on it seemed to really love it, you know, all seven of them.
We rode it at one point. We were in one row. We were in the front row, and then two people got in the back row. And that was the whole train.
There was actually a point where we got out, like, we could have sat on the car and ridden again if we wanted to, because nobody was entering in it. And that's, like, so unheard of over in the States.
Oh, yeah.
And this ride is significantly better than Thunder Mountain. You know, Thunder Mountain is, unfortunately, it kind of shows its age in some spots.
Magic Kingdom one, but Disneyland one is pretty awesome with the reverb.
It is.
It's one of my favorites at Magic Kingdom still.
But it is a little rougher in some spots just because it's older.
This one is very smooth track.
So, but what's neat is outside in this little area, you can actually meet Mickey and Minnie as prospectors. So that's kind of fun if, you know, you have little kids and you're looking for characters. I broke Minnie because I don't know if you know this, but I have Mr. T tattooed on my arm. Like a full-on portrait of Mr. T. And she was trying to get me to make a strong face, so I pulled out my, I pulled back my sleeves and showed her the tattoo, and she clearly knew who that was. And Minnie had to walk off for a moment and recompose herself. So
I have photos of Minnie with turned with her hands over her face, trying to compose herself. This is not the first character he's broken. He once told Rapunzel he parked his horse in front of the glue factory, and Rapunzel lost it and had to go up. Rapunzel stood behind her curtain and had to come back out after a minute, and she says, "I had a marker in my hand and I ruined the curtains."
She actually drew on the curtain because she was laughing so hard.
Wow.
So, He broke Minnie Mouse. He also broke Donald Duck. Donald Duck in Hong Kong was just astonished at how tall he was.
So, yeah, I will say that I was actually about the height of Goofy there. So okay.
There was a Goofy in one of the parks. He was taller then.
So anyway, the next ride next to that is, of course, Mystic Manor, which I know you're dying to hear all about. All
right, everyone's been waiting. We're here.
Yeah, here we go. Yeah, kind of saving the best right now for this. So this is another ride that has no weight, and you're like yelling the whole time going, how the heck does this not have any sort of weight to it? Because this is one of the best things I've ever been on.
Again, your wait time is the time it takes you to walk from the entrance to the ride car.
Now, when I said on the last episode that this shared a lot of DNA with Tower of Terror in DisneySea, they're both run by the Adventurers Club.
Ah.
And the person who founded the Tower of Terror founded Mystic Manor.
That's where he lives.
He lives in Mystic Manor. And there's an animatronic of him. And there are photos in there, I believe, of like various artifacts, including the possessed idol that you see in Tower of Terror. And I forget what the character's name was, but his name is in both of them. So they are interconnected, even though they're in different countries. So that's kind of a neat twist that's going on.
That's awesome. No, I love that stuff.
So I don't know how much you want me to talk about this ride, because I know that this is something that you want to experience for yourself.
Well, I know like when it first opened, was that 2011, I believe? I had no prospects of ever being able to go there. So I remember watching the ride video. I know that not everyone has done that. And so let's not really get too into it, but can you give us a taste of what's in there?
Okay, so you did watch the ride video a little bit, or
I did years ago, but I don't want to, you know, I don't want to spoil it for everybody, because
the best way I can explain this, it's I looked up, his name is Lord Henry Mystic, and this is his house, and Henry has a darling little monkey that he rescued, and as you're walking in, as if there were a weight, there are photos on the wall you can look at, and they do explain the story of how he saved Albert the monkey from a giant spider, and Albert became his friend and traveling companion. Albert is Disney's answer to Curious George.
Okay.
And Albert's curiosity gets the best of him, you know, gets the best of him and sends you off onto your magical adventure in Mystic Manor. Basically, Albert tries to get you killed about 10 different times throughout the ride. That's not too spoilery. No,
that's not spoiler. I will say it's a trackless dark ride. Picture like Pooh's Honey Hunt, like what I explained in the last one, where you are in a vehicle that seats, I think, four or six people, and it's hovering, and there's no defined track. So when you go in with the other few vehicles, this one, it actually takes six vehicles at once. So based on what vehicle you go into, you're going to go a different route through the manor.
Oh, my God, it's so awesome.
So, you know, and they're slightly different. So you all reconvene in different rooms, but in each...
Sure.
That you're going to go into like a different little nook, and based in that nook, you're going to get like a different creepy thing that happens. And without being too spoilerific, there's a music box that the monkey opens up, and it makes all of his artifacts that he's been collecting, that are all ancient artifacts, come to life in very horrific ways that try to murder you. And there is a song to it, so they're playing, you know, like, because it's a music box, you know, when you're walking in, there's actually a painting of Danny Elfman as part of the Explorers Club.
That's awesome.
Which I thought was a nice touch.
He did the music for the ride.
And yes. The animatronics are phenomenal. Albert is really well done. And there's lots of touches to Haunted Mansion throughout the whole thing, meaning if you look off to the side in one area, you see the... the busts on the wall that, you know, that follow you as you walk by them.
Nice.
You know, the sculptures that are indented, and if you walk by or you ride by,
they're turning with you. Yep.
Okay, and then they also have, what room is it in the Haunted Mansion? The garden area where they have the guy that's being buried alive and trying to escape. What's the name of that room?
It has the coffin, and he's knocking on the coffin.
Oh, it's the hallway.
They have the same room, but no coffin. It's a different scene, but it is the exact same layout of that room.
Yeah, same layout, but it's a man-eating plant in this one. So it's a long ride. It's about 5 or 6 minutes long. I would say it's a little shorter than Haunted Mansion, but it's a quicker and more brisk trip, meaning you are spinning, you're flying from place to place. It's much more chaotic than Haunted Mansion. Haunted Mansion always kind of feels like there's a sense of order to it, like every ghost knows their place.
Right.
And, you know, like, hey, we're going to hang out here. This is our thing. Here, it's like everything has just been unleashed for the first time, and they're basically trying to figure out who's the alpha dog.
Oh.
You know, and everything's trying to just break free. It's really, 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 really cool. We did it maybe 4 times, I actually think.
I was going to ask how many times you went, because you said there was no wait.
We did Grizzly Gulch 4 times, and we did that 4 times as well, because those were kind of the unique rides to Hong Kong Disney. It's fantastic. It's a shame that they will not build it over here, because I could see where if they put this in, I don't know. The thing is I don't know where they would put it, at least in Disney World, how that would fit in if they were to build it, because it doesn't really fit with any other, maybe Animal Kingdom.
I was going to say, Animal Kingdom. Yeah.
But it's not really an animal theme park. They've got all the Avatar stuff that's going to open up in 2032 or whatever year that decides to finally go. But
it's still too close to Haunted Mansion to go into the same park as Haunted Mansion.
Right, yeah.
But my first thought was Hollywood Studios, if you could really tie it to Tower of Terror and put them together. But other than that, I can't think of anywhere where you could duplicate this ride.
And I'm going to actually say something that's kind of like going to be fighting words on the show. I think Mystic Manor is actually superior to Haunted Mansion.
Well, I mean, you might... You could say that's fighting words. I mean, I haven't experienced it, and I'm sure it is, technically. And what you described is a whole different thing, but, you know.
In terms of the ride technology, you're looking at, let me see, I actually just looked it up. Mystic Manor opened May 2013.
Oh, 2013, not 2011.
You're looking at 3.5-year-old ride technology.
Instead of 45, 50 years.
Now I love the Haunted Mansion, of course, but I'm saying this is like the spiritual successor to it, and it'd be really cool if they could do this with Haunted Mansion, with like this technology, and have Haunted Mansion, like where you go through it, but like at this kind of a weird pace, but that would be so incredibly difficult to do, and impossible, and completely pointless, but it would be a lot of fun.
Yeah. I do like that you go through Mystic Manor at a much faster pace. You're still able to see everything, but I always felt like, at least in the Florida Haunted Mansion, they need to hit the gas pedal a little bit on that. Like, I feel like you're going extremely slow at some points where you don't need to be. This has a faster pace behind it.
I feel like that's because of loading.
Yeah, it is. It's the loading issues. That slow the ride down. Heck, I can't think of the last time I've been on a Haunted Mansion where it has not stopped completely because of loading issues.
Yeah.
So
that always happens at Magic Kingdom.
Yes. You don't have that problem with Mystic Manor because they send several cars in at once, and your group of cars clears a room before the next round comes in, so you are not dependent on loading or anything like that to go through. I think the trackless system and the spinning and things like that go very well with the kind of chaotic scenes going on because you're spinning. Everything in the room is spinning. Albert is adorable. He makes the ride. I also think he probably helps convince little kids to go on the ride. Because he has a cute little ride about a monkey. You know, you get some apprehensive children who go, oh, it's a ride about a monkey. I'll do that.
There is some terrifying imagery, though. Like, yeah. I will say there is some scary stuff in this one, and it creepier than even a Haunted Mansion. So,
yeah. Albert probably does not sleep well for a long time after this experience. he's probably one traumatized little monkey. So bad.
And this is another area where, like, there is nothing else in Mystic Point. That is what's there. That they built their own land for these two attractions, which were Grizzly Gulch and Mystic Point, and they're one attraction. So
now around Mystic Manor, they have basically large artifacts, probably like, you know, things that haven't been put into the manor. There's like a little train station. The train does not stop there, but you can kind of guess that this is where his artifacts are dropped off for the house. And if you walk around them, they appear one way, but then you'll see like a old-fashioned camera-looking box. And if you look through it, it's an optical illusion that'll show you the artifact in a different way. So that's really neat. And if you had children or people who didn't want to go on it, you could still walk around the garden and entertain yourself with how short the line is in the amount of time that they're on the ride.
So
I can't wait to make it here one day.
The thing is you totally can. You know, you definitely can. And I actually saw flights based on one of the sites I follow on Twitter. They were talking about that there's flights from Los Angeles to Hong Kong, a round trip for $600. So, you know, it that's not cheap, but it's also not terrible, you know?
Mm-hmm. No, it's...
Especially because it's about $60 to get into. So, anyway, continuing on, you have Toy Story Land, which doesn't have anything creepy to it. So we're just going to...
What's in it? Is that Toy Story Mania or something else?
There is no Toy Story Mania. There are some creepy Halloween decorations.
I saw the pictures.
Spider Baby is a giant part of their Toy Story Land during Halloween. It's out.
They have the parachute drop ride, mm-hmm. which I don't know if you were a kid that went to Knott's Berry Farm like in the 80s at all.
Yeah, that's actually...
Yeah, they had, like, their version of the parachutes, but it was all Toy Story themed.
Oh, like the Army Men.
Yeah, they have a Slinky Dog roller coaster, but it's a circle, so it's not like what's coming to Florida, allegedly, and...
The Slinky Dog is chasing his tail. That is the ride. You understand the pattern you're going in.
Got it.
What's the other thing they have? It's like a half... I don't know what it's called, the half coaster?
Yeah, those half pipe coasters where it goes back and forth.
The rocking ship?
Yeah, but it's a roller coaster. It's on a track.
Oh, okay.
And the thing spins, but the thing was closed. It was and you can see them working on this ride, and they have structures made out of bamboo. And they're not wearing harnesses because they don't have those same laws for safety. So everybody's, like, making these bamboo structures to get up to the top of the ride.
Climbing
up and down.
When I was in high school, I saw Rush Hour 2, and I just remember Jackie Chan. Chinese bamboo, very strong.
Yep.
These people are climbing up the bamboo structure, building it as they're climbing, and their scaffolding is made of bamboo. Wow. And we're on the Slinky Dog coaster, and in my head I'm going, Chinese bamboo, very strong. Waiting for the guy in Rush Hour who falls off, I'm waiting for one of them to do that. I'm like, well, this is really bad. I need to get out of this area.
They did creepily decorate it, so I was kind of proud of that, but... there wasn't a whole lot more to it. It's basically a newer land, and it's meant for little kids. Because that whole area, if you ever look at a map, you can see where they put Mystic Manor, Grizzly Gulch, and Toy Story Land. It's in its own little corner. And that's an area that doesn't open until later. So you can kind of see that was not the original imprint of the park.
Okay.
It does. I mean, though, if you have, say, bigger kids who are going on Mystic Manor and Grizzly Gulch, there's three attractions. Buzz, Woody, Jesse, the Green Army Men are all meeting there in rotating intervals. There is stuff to do there if you've got little kids. They did have some Halloween decorations out. It's really a well-themed little corner. I will send some photos that you can put up of what their decorations looked like for Halloween. I posted one to you. There was like a Barbie leg attached to a yo-yo. And
yeah, creepy.
Yeah, and weird blocks that spelled out terror. So they themed it well. They decorated it for Halloween, which was really cool.
So anyway, going from there, you get into Fantasyland, and there's really not anything too creepy there. You know, they have Dumbo there. They have, you know, Small World, which, you know, it's the California Small World. There's nothing really different except that it's got the characters.
I would say out of all the It's a Small World, Hong Kong was my favorite.
Yeah, Hong Kong has the best Small World out of all of them, but I know this is really not the Small World podcast.
Not quite. Hey, what
I'm
is the...
People terrified of it.
Yeah, I know, some are. What is the Sword in the Stone? Is that a dark ride, or is that just the sword to pull?
It's like California, where you can pull the sword.
They have one in Orlando as well.
I really got my hopes up there for a second. I was like, is there a dark ride of Sword in the Stone?
if you ever want something entertaining, we didn't do this in Hong Kong, but we did do this in Tokyo. The PhilharMagic. Mickey's PhilharMagic. They have it in Florida in English. You can go watch it in Chinese or Japanese. It is the exact same show in a different language. Donald and Mickey sound really entertaining in Chinese. So that's kind of, if you want 10 minutes in the air conditioning. Hong Kong, by the way, in October felt like Disney World in June.
I was going to ask. It was hot. Oh, wow.
The reason we were digging through the suitcases the second day in the hotel is I was digging out the shorts.
So, What's really interesting, though, is what Fantasyland did have was for Halloween, they had special character meet and greets. And, yeah, we already had Cruella de Vil, and they have, like, the Big Bad Wolf out. But they had one that was really interesting, which was Oogie Boogie. You could meet Oogie Boogie.
And he is one that is very hard to find, at least in Florida.
Oh, yeah.
He was out at Halloween. You had to – on Halloween Day – you had to be at the right resort they brought him out. I think it was like Saratoga or something you wouldn't expect him to be at. But you don't see him in Florida.
So, yeah, I had to give the dark one a hug, you know, obviously. And, you know, the nice thing, you know, the weird thing with that is he was rotating with Jack Skellington, who they consider to be a villain out there.
Really?
Yeah, Jack Skellington. Like, they were advertising their Halloween set. Now, a weird aspect of this, and this has to do with the Shanghai overrun problem, was that all parades that they had were Halloween themed, and they were very small. They normally have like Paint the Night in Hong Kong. And we didn't get that because they had some little small Halloween parade. And we read that they discontinued doing that just to kind of save money on labor because Shanghai went over budget.
So the both parades, their afternoon parade was a Halloween-themed one as well. It was the same costumes you saw greeting in the park. Mickey, Minnie, and Goofy had small floats, and all the other characters were on foot. And they had some dancers, but it was basically what I would consider to be a pre-parade.
Oh, wow.
It was much smaller than the Tokyo parade for their Halloween parade, but that was their afternoon parade. And their nighttime show had two floats. One was Jafar themed and one was the Evil Queen from Snow White. And then the characters you could meet that evening in the garden in Fantasyland walked on foot on the parade, but you couldn't see them because they weren't elevated, and they walked around the castle, and you really couldn't see them because, again, there's a crowd and two giant floats, and they were pretty much blocked from view. But they did have it was Jack Skellington walking with Oogie Boogie, which still bothers me. they're just out together, both walking next to each other. I'm like, that wouldn't, no, that's not how this works here. Watch the movie again.
Now, like if you look at past years for their Halloween parades and stuff and all that, they were much more elaborate, but from what we gathered, it's just, it's kind of like over here on how when Shanghai went so crazy over budget that they did have to cut several things that said, well, we can cut this parade out every day because that's costing us, you know, $50,000 in performers alone. So if we cut this out, we can save some money and send it to Shanghai.
Yep.
So anyway, you have Tomorrowland next to that, and, you know, there's the Buzz Lightyear ride, and they have Hyperspace Mountain, which is just, you know, it's pretty similar to California's version. And,
meet Chewbacca and R2-D2 as well.
R2-D2, that's unique, huh?
Yeah, he's just standing there. But what's weird is you can tell, like, it's an area where they meet. It used to be Space Mountain Q. You can just kind of tell because you're actually going into Space Mountain to meet them. Like, you can just tell, like, oh, this ride wasn't as popular as we hoped. And they
built a little room out of the side instead of having a long line.
No. We saw that they were building that whole Iron Man experience. And
that's coming, right?
That's opening up in January. And I think, actually, maybe that could have to do with the smaller lines, is maybe people who go once a year or every 2 years that are local. Maybe you were saying, well, let's just wait until this new attraction opens up. So, yeah, I mean, that's pretty much what Hong Kong Disney has to offer. It's good. We did it for 2 days, and it was actually like a day and a half. They do have a really neat projection show, and I will say that fireworks in Asia are, in general, very small. Even Tokyo, I forgot to mention that the Tokyo Disney and Disney Sea fireworks, they actually share the same fireworks show. They do it in the middle of, in between the two parks, and they just have different music playing at each park, but it's the same show because it's such close proximity. But, like, you know, the Hong Kong Disney, you get more projection and fire and stuff like that, but
they do project onto the castle and onto Main Street like they do in California here. It's my understanding that we're going to be, at least Magic Kingdom adopted Tokyo's projection show starting this month in Florida. I'm wondering if maybe because the castle and the buildings are the same size, if Hong Kong and Disneyland might start sharing projection shows. Instead of, you know, to change them up.
Right.
No.
Not cost so much, just be able to trade the shows back and forth.
Now, I will say that you can see when you're walking, like, if you're walking around the property of outside of Hong Kong Disney, because we got there early, and, you know, if you're done eating, you're, like, you're just kind of checking out what's around there. You can totally see where they have room for the second park. You can go, okay, well, it's set up so it's going to be California Adventure to Disneyland.
It's that
close where you can see, this is the hub, and this is where this other park is going to go.
Dare I even say it would be closer.
Yeah, it would be closer.
It's going to be, they're 200 feet apart from one another, because all that's in the middle was this fountain, and then you can see on the other side exactly where the gate would be. So it's going to be throw a rock between the parks.
And they are working on it. Apparently there have been height balloons testing there.
Oh, so you've heard they're working on a second park? I haven't heard this before.
What's happening is their attendance is drops in Shanghai is open, so they're trying to actually make Hong Kong more of a Tokyo Disney-type resort park, meaning that, like, more locals will go there. They're having a really hard time keeping the market going there because a lot of people, when they say, I'm going on vacation, they don't say, I'm going to Hong Kong for my vacation. It's just not a place that comes up for the average person.
Mm.
So they're figuring, if we can do two parks there, maybe we can make this a tourist destination. A little side note was that we wound up eating lunch the second day at this restaurant inside one of the hotels where they did Disney character dim sum. And it's just dim sum that's themed to look like the characters, but they did have Three Little Pigs dim sum, and they were indeed filled with pork. So that was kind of fun. Was that, you know, it was like you got to eat the Three Little Pigs.
Yeah, the Three Little Pigs, they had Jack Skellington, Olaf.
Characters like that.
Yeah,
you know,
the three-eyed alien from Toy
nothing,
Story.
Nothing really scary except for that, but I figured you'd find you get a little laugh out of that.
Sure.
But, you know, it is what's interesting is I've seen a lot of people who have said that they've gone to Hong Kong Disney because they had a five-hour layover because it's not that far from the airport. You can get from there to the airport in about 15 minutes, I would say, if you had the taxi.
Oh, wow.
And people saying that they felt like they were able to do the whole thing or at least all the major attractions in about 4 hours and then some. So it's, you know, 2 days is a little much unless you're doing like the character hunting and you're like really like, I'm going to fully explore this and go into every store. But, you know, I would say for the average person, 1 day is more than enough, you know. So, yeah, I mean, we didn't really do anything else really creepy around Hong Kong. Hong Kong was kind of a more mellow area, but we definitely did some extra creepy stuff in Shanghai. But I think that's another right there.
Yeah, all right. I guess that'll probably wrap this one up.
All right, yeah. I don't think we have anything else to add except that Hong Kong Disney is really cool. It's just very small, and you can tell that they're still trying to get a hold on what they are and who they are.
Yeah, if you want to go to a park and feel like you're the only person there and you want to do all those cool photos you see where people close down the park, they're the only person in their photo castle, you can do that there at noon.
Yeah. Yeah, you will be there at noon and you'll be the only, you'll feel like the only people in there. It actually kind of felt weird and unsettling in some ways.
I bet. Yeah, that sounds a little creepy.
Yeah.
I feel like it should have a higher attendance than it does. So that's my thought, at least.
But I guess if you're a local and you've already done everything, you know, you're maybe thinking of better ways to spend your $50.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, I mean, I don't know what the annual pass market is out there.
I know that we actually saw them selling annual passes there, and you know, they had it was like I think it was only like $210 in U.S. money for an annual pass there, which isn't bad, but it's just there's not enough there to warrant annual pass unless you're like I'm going there for Christmas, I'm going there for Easter, I'm going there for Halloween. You know, it's really cool. It's just, you know, there's only a handful of rides and things to do.
But I can safely say, if for some reason we lived in Hong Kong, we'd have an annual pass to Hong Kong Disney.
Oh, oh I'm sure. You know,
if for
might
some
be
reason.
We Gulch all day, but, you know, you could probably ride that 50 times in a day with how short the line was.
Well, it sounds like paradise if you think about it. So, I mean,
yeah, it is.
We want the attendance to go up so they don't close the park down. But it, either way, it's always great when it's empty because we're always so used to the crowds all the time. On both coasts here in the United States. So.
Exactly.
All right. Well, your trilogy is about to hit its final chapter. So next time, we're going to take us to Shanghai Disneyland.
All right. Yeah, we're looking forward to it.
All right. Stay tuned, everybody. Hey, Roxy.
Hey, James.
How's it going?
Pretty good. How are you?
I'm doing great. You know why?
Why?
Because Creepy Kingdom has officially launched a Patreon account.
Patreon? What's Patreon?
Well, let me tell you. Patreon is a way that the listeners of the show can support us.
So, like a Kickstarter?
Not exactly. Kickstarter only is a one-time thing. On Patreon, our listeners can support us every month. And in exchange for them supporting us, we will give them special, super awesome prizes.
How much do they have to pay to support us?
They can pay whatever they want. You could pay $1 a month. You could pay $10, $100. It's up to them.
That's really cool. So how can Creepy Kingdom fans find this Patreon thing?
Well, you could go to creepykingdom.com
and check the show notes on our recent episodes, or you could go to patreon.com/creepykingdom. That's patreon.com.
I'm going to go check it out right now.
Me too.